السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، فإن الخير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. I've been asked to talk about two topics. It says thankfulness, and indeed that is one of the topics, but as always when it comes to Charity Week, I've been asked to talk about something upon unity. And unity is such a huge topic, and it's such a well understood topic from amongst the brothers and sisters. And it's well understood, you know, we all know that the Muslim Ummah is united. And in fact, the second ayah that Abdul Qawi recited from Surah Ali Imran, ayah 103, it's the same ayah that I have down here to start the talk with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Everyone knows this verse. And hold firmly to the rope of Allah all together and be not divided. There are so many things which unite Muslims across the world. Across the world. We worship the same God. We follow the same Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We face the same Qibla. Whenever anyone is praying anywhere around the world, we are all facing in the same direction. We perform the same prayers. We fast in the same month. We share the same greeting. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We go to the same house for pilgrimage. We follow the same sharia. And the list is endless. We could go on. And all of these things unite us in religion, unite us in love. And if we read that verse, if we carry on with that verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how He joined the hearts with love. How He put love into the hearts of the people, whereas before they were enemies one to another. It may be, and I've experienced this, and I've heard first-hand stories of brothers who were mortal enemies. Actually, one amazing story, in which one brother who was a racist, white supremacist, on a weekly basis, he and his friends used to go and chase these group of Bangladeshi boys and in East London, and they would beat them up and they would fight. And the funny thing is, every time he would pick on this one particular Bangladeshi brother, and every time the Bangladeshi brother would say to him, as he's being beaten up, "Fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah." And this guy just couldn't understand, what's he saying, "Fear Allah? Who is this Allah?" 6 months later, they are both sitting on the same chair talking about Islam. Whereas before they were mortal enemies, they are now brothers united by one thing: their faith and their religion and their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like I said, the things which unite us are far greater and far more important and far more weighty than the things which disunite us and put differences in front of us. Yet we choose to pick on those small things which differentiate us. We choose to pick on those things which Allah and His Messenger have forbidden us to call upon when trying to cause animosity and trying to cause division amongst the Muslims. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "It pleases Allah for you to acquire three qualities, and it displeases Him that you acquire three characteristics. It pleases Him that you worship Him alone and do not associate anything or anyone with Him in worship. That you hold onto the rope of Allah altogether and do not divide. And that you advise whoever Allah appoints as your leader. And the three things that displease Him are that you say it was said and so said." Meaning you are a tale-tattler. You carry gossip. You like to involve in carrying tales. asking many unnecessary questions, and wasting money. So the three things which unite us: it pleases Him that you worship Allah alone. We've all taken the Shahada. We have all testified that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we all hold on together to the rope of Allah. The scholars have explained that the rope of Allah in this instance is Islam, and it is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that you advise whoever Allah appoints as your leader. These things unite us, bring us together, and are not causes to break us apart. They are not things which should disunite us. The Prophet ﷺ said this, and again, very famous hadith. We've all heard of it. And actually this is probably the cornerstone of why Muslims give in such times, a charity week, and why we give when we see our brothers and sisters suffering halfway across the world. We feel this pain. The Prophet ﷺ said, the similitude of believers in regard to mutual love, affection, fellow feeling is like that of one body. When any limb aches, the whole body aches, and it becomes sleeplessness. It suffers from sleeplessness and fever. Wherever Muslims are suffering around the world, we don't ask, are they Hanafi? Are they Hanbali? Are they Shafi? Or what do they think about trouser legs above the ankle? Or what do they say? I mean, we don't talk on this level. We give, we feel hurt, we feel pain, and we unite with them. So why is it at times of peace, at times of coming together, we find such reasons to cause us to depart from one another, not with love, but with animosity? Very famous hadith again. And everything I'm reciting here, I'm narrating to you here, I'm sure all of you have heard it many times before. And this is a hadith which I mentioned yesterday during the Jummah khutbah. So those are the brothers and sisters who are there. Inshallah, it's a reminder. And for the rest of you, hopefully, it's something for us to ponder upon. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions one day, he said, do not envy one another. Don't have jealousy. Don't have hasad. Don't have the envy which causes your own good deeds to be destroyed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, envy, hasad, destroys good deeds like fire devours wood. Don't envy one another. Because what is envy? Envy is the dissatisfaction with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That what you're saying is, I am dissatisfied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to bless a particular individual with whatever he's blessed him with. Be it wealth, be it health, be it family, be it a great spouse. I am jealous of that. I am not happy with the decree of Allah. That he has bestowed this blessing on this individual and he has not bestowed it upon me. And this hasad is that you want this blessing to be removed from that individual and that you want to have it for yourself. Forbidden. So don't envy one another. Do not inflate prices one to another. So don't be greedy. Don't be fooled by the glitz and the glamour of this world. And don't try to compete with the Joneses and with those people who have. And don't try to become like them. And because of that, your greed causes you to inflate your prices. I read a very beautiful story. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, he wanted to see if his people were ready to conquer Jerusalem. So he masked himself in disguise and he went out amongst the people. He went out amongst the people in the marketplace. And he approached one seller, market seller, and he said, I wish to buy such and such a thing. And the market seller said, may Allah have mercy upon you. I'm just closing up. I've done my business for the day. I've earned whatever money I set out to earn. Why don't you go to my brother across the street? He will give you what you want. So he then goes to his brother across the street. And he hears the same story. I've done what I set out to do. I've earned whatever I wanted to earn. Why don't you go to my brother down the street? He'll give you what he wanted, what he wants. And then eventually he goes to the third person and he gets what he wants. And he understands and he realizes that his people are ready. Because they're not for this dunya. There are some people who keep their shops open 24/7 and will take every penny that you're prepared to give them. There are others who are satisfied, content with whatever they need. They don't want more than that. So then he goes on to say, do not hate one another. A Muslim should never, and I say this to my children, we hear our children arguing all the time, oh, I hate you, I hate you. And I say to my children, hate is such a strong term. To hate somebody is really something which is despicable. This is not something which we ever heard emanate from the tongue of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To hate an individual. So he says, do not hate one another. How can a Muslim hate another Muslim? Have this feeling of hate and anger towards another believer, towards another person who shares in the same belief and follows the same prophet and prays the same prayers as yourself. How can this feeling enter into the heart of such an individual? Do not turn away from one another. Again, Charity Week and events like this are a perfect example to show us that we don't turn away from each other. Those of us in need, we come together to help them. But unfortunately, this only seems to happen when mass disaster strikes. When there are floods in Pakistan or the horrific events which are occurring in Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and you, the list goes on. But in our own lives, on our day-to-day communities, in our own communities that we live in the UK, we do turn away from one another many times. We refuse to give salams. We refuse to look at each other. We refuse to speak with one another. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, do not turn away from one another. In fact, in another rawah he says that a Muslim is only allowed 3 days in which he doesn't speak to his brother or sister. If you're that angry with him, that you don't want to speak to the individual, that you don't want to speak to her, you're allowed 3 days. And after that, you maybe not restore your relationship as it was before, but you are due to give the salams and visit the sick and so on and so forth. So do not turn away from one another. Being a community. Be united. Do not undercut one another. وَيْلُّ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Don't cheat one another. Don't undercut one another. Don't inflate prices with one another. But be you, O servants, brothers. Be you, O servants, brothers and sisters in Islam. Allah has united you with this religion, which this very testimony will enter you into paradise for an eternity. A Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He neither oppresses him nor does he fail him. He neither lies to him, nor does he hold him in contempt. And this is another problem that we have, especially amongst our brothers and sisters who may be practicing, may be wearing the hijab, may be growing the beard, may be getting involved in Charity Week, may be praying 5 times a day. We may somehow feel a superiority complex over our other brothers and sisters who aren't doing this, who aren't at our perceived level. So we look down upon them as though somehow we are better than them. Somehow I am more gifted and I am more blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and many of the scholars have said this, many of the scholars have explained, Allah, paradise is forbidden to the one who has an atom's weight of pride in his heart. So he was asked, O Messenger of Allah, we all have pride in the way we dress, in the way we look. And he said, no, this is not the pride that I'm talking about. And then he mentioned two qualities. Two qualities which if you have, you will never enter paradise. The first one is, he said, rejecting the truth when it comes to you. The second one is looking down upon people, believing that you are better than them, believing that somehow because of the amount of Quran that you know, or the way you live, or the way you practice your deen, you are somehow better than an individual. That has kibr, that has allowed pride to enter into your heart, and you will never enter paradise. So the Muslim is always trying to humble himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he humbles himself before others. He puts others in front of his, he puts the needs of others in front of his own needs and desires. So this is something which we need to acquire in our lives. And then he said, piety is right here, and he pointed to his breast, three times. It is evil enough for a man to hold his brother Muslim in contempt. The whole of a Muslim for another Muslim is inviolable. His blood, his property and his honor. Haram. You cannot steal from a Muslim, you cannot kill a Muslim, but more importantly, something, you know, we think, oh, I'm never going to kill anyone, I'm not going to steal from anyone, but you're not allowed to dishonor a Muslim. All of these three things are haram for another Muslim. So you cannot slander, you cannot backbite, you cannot drag this individual's reputation through the dirt. It's haram, forbidden, as clearly indicated in this hadith. So we need to bring back that love and that unity and that rahmah for each other, that mercy that we have for one another, overlooking each other, finding those 70 excuses. Finding those 70 excuses, and then if we run out of excuses, then finding fault in ourselves. As Umar radiallahu anhu used to say. But we don't even give one excuse in many instances. You know, I've known of friends who used to be friends for decades, and over some small argument, they haven't spoken to each other for years. They don't give salams, they don't phone each other, they don't ask each other how they are. This is forbidden in Islam. This is not part of the makeup of a Muslim. And on this this subject of unity, I'd like to finish with a parable, which is very famous in the Arab world. You'll find it in many of the African countries as well. There's a saying, united we stand, divided we fall. And based upon this saying, there's an Arab parable in which it talks about three bulls who used to go out and they used to graze upon the grass, and there was a lion or a wolf or some sort of predator which would try to attack them. But every time it tried to attack, they would group together, they would unite, and they would fend off the predator. So one day the predator managed to get one of the cows to itself, one of the buffalo, and he said, listen, if you can separate yourself, or if you can get two of you to separate from the other one, I will take the other one and I will leave you alone. And that way you don't have to keep worrying about me coming every night. So he said, okay. So there were three colors actually, I forgot to mention, there was a black, white and brown. So the black and brown separated from the white one. They had an argument over something, they said, right, we're leaving, and they left the white one alone, and that night the predator came, ate the white one. A few days later he came back to the black one and he said, you know what, why don't you separate from the brown one and I'll leave you alone and I'll just take the brown one. So again, some sort of argument over something petty, and he leaves his friend, and that night the predator comes and eats the brown one. And then a few days later, the animal, the predator, the lion, the wolf gets hungry again. He comes back, and guess what? He has no one to protect him. This black cow has no one to protect him. And as he's being eaten, as he's being slaughtered, he says, I died the night the white buffalo died. Because he understood that this unity was the thing which kept us safe and kept us together. And when we became disunited, united we stand, divided we fall. And he understood that when he allowed himself to disunite with his brothers, his destruction was already written for him. We need to learn the lessons. We need to learn the lessons of the very things that we are witnessing. These aren't in the history books, my dear brothers and sisters. These are things that we are witnessing with our own eyes as we live today. What disunity has caused to befall the Muslim Ummah. So let us not allow the problem to perpetuate and to continue, and let us try to resolve our issues and unite once again upon the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to unite upon. Right, thankfulness, shukr. One of the reasons Allah has revealed his names and attributes to us is that we get to know him through these names and attributes. Because as finite creatures that we are, it is impossible for the finite creature to understand the infinite one who is perfect in all respects. So through his wisdom, through his mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed his names and attributes to us, so that through those names and attributes we can build up a relationship with Him. One of these names and attributes, which I'd like to briefly discuss now, is Ash-Shakur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most appreciative one. And why am I talking about thankfulness from this angle? Because it's important to know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who doesn't thank the people, doesn't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes, you know what the reality is, we're not thanked. We do a lot of hard work, we put in a lot of effort, and Abdul Qawi said, and we're not thanked. And we don't do it to be thanked by the people. But sometimes it's nice just to be recognized. Sometimes, after having done this for 5 years, just for somebody to say, you know what, I really appreciate the effort you put in. But unfortunately, that doesn't occur. But when we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most appreciative, and when we understand this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we then begin to think, you know what, it doesn't matter if the people don't thank me. It doesn't matter, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ash-shakur. And Al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that ash-shakur is the one who rewards the practice of a few pious deeds manifold. And in response to the action of a few days, he gives limitless happiness in the life to come. SubhanAllah. The one, and I repeat that, the one who rewards the practice of a few pious deeds manifold. And in response to the action of a few days, he gives limitless happiness in the life to come. My dear brothers and sisters, do not ever think that your actions are enough to enter you into paradise, because they are not. It doesn't matter if we were to worship constantly for 100 years, for 1,000 years, in comparison to the greatness and the glory that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it pales into insignificance. It pales into insignificance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, rejoice, for none of you will enter paradise because of your deeds. And the companion said, what, are not even you, O Messenger of Allah? He said, not even I will enter paradise because of my deeds, but we will all rely upon the rahmah, upon the mercy, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to obtain this rahmah and this mercy, this is the reason we do these actions. Not because in and of themselves they are enough to enter me into paradise, but because through them, via them, I acquire the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I acquire the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I remind myself that He is ash-shakur, He is the most appreciative. On the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has written down the good deeds and the bad ones. Then he explained it by saying that he who has intended to do a good deed and has not done it, Allah writes it down with himself as a full good deed. But if he has intended to do it and has done it, Allah writes it down with himself from 10 good deeds to 700 times or many times over. But if he has intended a bad deed and has not done it, Allah writes it down with himself as a full good deed. But if he has intended it and has not done it, Allah writes it down as one bad deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so appreciative of the little that we do, that He even rewards us, as this hadith says, even for our good intentions, even if we don't carry them out. For those of you who are studying, I want you to phone your lecturer on Monday morning and say, you know what, I intended to write my thesis, I had good intention, but you know what, I didn't do it, so just give me my pass and we'll forget about it. No one would do this. You know, you can apply it to any realm of your life. I could apply it to my work. No one is this appreciative as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when you do the good deed, He writes it down 10 to 700 times and multiples of that. Based upon what? Based upon the intention, based upon the deed itself, based upon the sincerity of the action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so appreciative of one act of worship that we do for His sake, that He writes it down with Himself. Unlimited reward if He so wishes. And He even rewards us for having an evil action, evil thought, an evil intention that we don't carry out. Now, it's because, not that we don't carry out because we are prevented from doing it physically. I'm intending to rob this person, but then another person comes in the room, so I don't do it. But no, I recall Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? This is such a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is the three men who are trapped in a cave. And they make tawassul with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through their good deeds. And one of them says, "Oh Allah, you know that I had a cousin who was beloved to me. I loved her dearly. And one day she came to me. One day she came to me in need of money. And she said to me that her and her family were in dire straits and in dire need of money. So I said to her that I would give her money if she would lie with me." So as he was about to do the deed, as they were, you know, and I don't need to go into description, but as they were about to do the deed, she said to him, "Fear Allah. Ittaqullah, fear Allah." And he said, "At that time I came to my senses and I got off of her and I said, 'Leave, you keep the money.'" He said, "Oh Allah, if you know that I did this for your sake, then help us out from this situation." And the rock moved slightly. Showing us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though this man had evil intent, because he didn't carry out, because he did fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rewarded him and he saved him from the predicament that he was in. So we should never, ever look down upon any good deed. That one penny that somebody puts in your bucket because you stood there for an extra half an hour, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appreciative. That long walk that you took when it was raining to the masjid, Allah is appreciative. That all that money that you spent traveling around for charity week on fuel, on food and whatever, Allah is appreciative. And there is not a single thing that you do except that He has written it with Himself. He has written it with Himself. You see, the angels, what do? They write that outward. So when they see you doing an outward action, they simply write the action. It is Allah who writes with Himself the intention behind that action and the reward which is with Him. So do not think, and that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not belittle any good deed, even meeting your brother with a smile." Subhanallah. You know, unfortunately, we have got, and I put my hands up, we have got into a really bad practice of looking miserable all the time. My children, they say to me, "Abba, you don't smile anymore." And I said, "Because I've got 7 children." You know, they say, "Abba, you don't smile." And then the brothers at work used to start to joke, saying, "And every time we see you, you're looking glum and you're looking gloomy." This is not the face of a Muslim. The face of the Muslim, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself used to be smiling. He would always smile. He would always be cheerful. And he would put cheer into the hearts of his companions. This is how we need to be. With our families, with our friends, with our colleagues, Muslim or non-Muslim. The Muslim is always optimistic. He's never pessimistic. And he always has good hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go to the masajids now and you give a salam to somebody. If you're lucky, you'll get back. If not, they'll completely ignore you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Spread the salam. Spread peace amongst yourselves." This is something which we do to those we know and those we don't know. Another unifying factor, that we give salams to people we know and that we people we don't know. I remember a story once at work. I was on a project and the project manager was introducing a new guy coming around, and he was a Muslim. And he came to my desk and he said, "This is Atif," and he goes, "This is Saad." And we started talking. And you know, he's standing there patiently, and we're talking. And then he went on round to the other desk. And then he came to me later, the project manager came to me later on. And he said, "Oh, did you know this person from before?" I said, "No, I've never met him before in my life." And he said, "Amazing." He goes, "The way you were speaking to each other, I thought you were best friends from before." This is how the Muslims are. This is what unites us. This is what puts love in our hearts. And it's then later on that we find, you know what, he doesn't follow my imam. Maybe he's not such a nice guy after all. Yeah, wallah, you laugh, but it's true. You know, you're tested now. We're tested. Brothers who don't know you, a new area that you're going to, they'll test you and they'll say, "Brother, where is Allah? Or they'll say, brother, what do you think of this sheikh? Or who is your teacher, brother? Or they'll watch you in your prayer. Are you doing Rafa'adin? Are you saying Ameen loudly? They'll check your trouser legs. Wallahi, this is no lie. A brother has told me in Birmingham, he has literally been ostracized from his masjid because he doesn't follow their same way. To the extent that when he walks past brothers and he gives them salams, they ignore him. But he still goes to the masjid just to annoy them. Alhamdulillah. This is unheard of. Unheard of. How sad is this? When we're ordered to be united upon the things which unite us, we choose to become disunited. Anyway, I've moved away from thankfulness, I just realized. So, where was I? So the Prophet ﷺ describes two men. Again, this is going back to intention. One man whom Allah has bestowed upon wealth and knowledge, and he acts upon that knowledge and gives from his wealth. And another man from whom Allah has given knowledge but no wealth. And that man says, if I had wealth as he has, I would do the same. And the Prophet ﷺ said, their reward is the same. So the man who has no wealth and he is unable to distribute it and he is unable to give it, he has the same reward as the man who has wealth and gives it fi sabilillah, just because by his sincere intention. Amazing. Truly amazing. When we think about that, we truly start to appreciate how grateful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of our actions. And I'll finish with a couple of things to note. The Prophet ﷺ informed the companions of a man before Islam who was a pious worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 500 years. And when he died and he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, as for you, you enter my paradise because of my rahmah, because of my mercy. So the man replies and he says, because of your mercy, because of your rahmah, he says, what did my 500 years of worship get me? What did that achieve for me? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay. So he orders the mizan to be brought. He orders the scale to be brought. And he takes one blessing, one ni'mah that he gave to this man. And that is the blessing of sight. And he puts it on one side of the scale. And then he takes the man's 500 years of worship and he puts it on the other side, and it doesn't do anything. It doesn't move the scale one iota. If you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never be able to count them. And you know how miserly we are? If I were to give you all a pen and paper now and ask you to write down the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would struggle past 10. We would struggle past 15. Maybe some of us could get 20 down. But we would struggle. Then we start to break it down. My stereo in my car. You know? Or the fact that I had breakfast, lunch and dinner today. We're so miserly that we're unable to think of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we remember those blessings when Allah takes them away from us. Then how much do we remember? And it's so true that when we are ill and we are unable to get on with our daily lives, we truly appreciate what health meant to us. Or poverty. We truly appreciate poverty when you have wealth. Or sorry, the other way around. You truly appreciate wealth when you suffer from poverty. So these are the things that we need to recall with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so then he enters the man into paradise. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was appreciative of this man's 500 years of worship. And because of that, because of his rahmah, because of his mercy, he forgave him and he enters him into paradise. And this goes hand in hand with the narration, none of you will enter paradise simply because of the deeds or the actions that you have done, but we will all rely upon the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, truly to show you how appreciative Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, this is a beautiful narration which I recommend all of you to go back, read, and ponder over. This is the story of the last man to come out of the hellfire. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, shall I tell you? He goes, verily, I know the last person to come out of the hellfire. And he will come out burnt and sooted and smelling, and he will come out crawling on all fours. And as he comes out, he will say, praise be to Allah, who has given me what he has given no one else before. And this is the last man to come out of hellfire. Praise be to Allah, who has given me what he has not given anyone else. That he has allowed me to come out of the hellfire. And just as a point, as Muslims, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that Muslims, may Allah protect us from this, but Muslims may enter hellfire, but we will never remain in there for eternity. Every Muslim, as the Prophet ﷺ informed us, that every Muslim is with an atom's weight. And this is where appreciative, a shukur comes in. An atom's weight of iman, an atom's weight of belief will be taken out of hellfire. Allah is so appreciative of even that atom's weight of la ilaha illallah. Obviously, the man doesn't die upon shirk, he dies upon tawheed. But he is the most, and he's the wicked, he's the worst Muslim ever. So he's the last one to come out of hellfire. So, he sees a tree. And this tree is bearing fruits and it has shade. And next to this tree is a beautiful river which is flowing. So he says, Ya Rab, oh my Lord. He goes, let me sit under this tree. Let me taste some of its fruits. Let me gain benefit from its shade. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, if I give you this, will you ask me anything after this? He goes, well, I swear in your name, I will not ask you anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay. So the man sits there, and again, what does he say? Allahu Akbar, praise be to Allah who has given me what he has given no one else. So he sits there for a while, enjoying the shade, drinking from the stream, eating the fruit, and then a little way in the distance, he sees a bigger tree. A better tree, better shade, better fruit, bigger stream. And as is the case of man, whenever he sees something bigger and better, he wants it. So he remembers the promise that he made Allah, that he's not going to ask him for anything else. But he can't resist. He can't resist. He has to have this tree. So he says, oh my Lord, let me sit under that tree. Let me drink from its stream. Let me have the fruits from its branches. Let me enjoy the shade. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, O son of Adam, did you not just promise me that you would not ask me anything after I've given you this tree? And the man, he becomes shy and he says, oh Allah, do not make me the most wretched of your creatures. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if I give you this, will you ask me anything else? And the man says, no, I won't ask you anything else. And we all know what's going to happen, yeah? So he goes and he sits under this tree. And he's enjoying the shade and he's truly happy. But it happens to be that this tree is right outside the gates of paradise. Oh, subhanAllah. So true. So true. And this man, this man, he can hear the people of paradise and he can smell the fragrance and he can hear the enjoyment of the people of paradise. And he sits there and he thinks, I've just promised Allah, I won't ask him for anything else. So after a while he says, Ya Rab, let me enter paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again this conversation restarts. And he says, O son of Adam, did you not just promise me that if I gave you this tree, you would not ask me for anything else? And again the man says, Ya Rab, don't make me the most wretched of creatures. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, enter. So, just imagine the scenario. This man has come out from what is the greatest punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for his slaves. And he is entering the greatest reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for his slaves. This reward is so wonderful and so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you were given a bow's length in paradise, it would be better than the world and everything it contained. A bow's length is nothing. Nothing. If you, but it's not. That's not the least person. So he enters. As he enters paradise, he says, praise be to Allah that he has given me what he has given no one else. This man is the worst Muslim and the last person to enter paradise. Yet he believes himself to be the most blessed creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as he entered, and there are different riwayas, there are different narrations with regards to this. As he entered, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, ask. Ask for your wishes. So he asked, and Allah says, ask again. And he asks again. And Allah says, ask again. And he continues to ask. He continues to ask until every single one of his desires and wishes are fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, for you this and 10 times as much again. And another way he says, 10 times as much as the earth. And the man says to him, Ya Rab, do you make fun of me even though you are the Lord of the worlds? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he smiles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiles at this man. And he says, no, I do not make fun of you. And he is the last person to enter paradise. And he will live in there for an eternity. And he will have pleasures which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, no eye has ever seen. No ear has ever heard. And no human heart can ever imagine the pleasures awaiting the people of paradise. And if that's not enough, if that's not enough, the greatest pleasure to show you how appreciative Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of all those days and nights that you stood out with a bucket collecting money, all the heartache that you suffered, all the times that you left your family when they wanted your company, all of the difficulties, all the hardship, if that's not enough, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to speak to Him and will allow you to see Him. And this, my dear brothers and sisters, is the greatest reward of the people of paradise. Far greater than the treasures and the bliss and the happiness. The greatest reward is that the people in paradise will speak to their Lord and they will see their Lord. And my brothers and sisters, the greatest punishment of the people of hellfire will not be the burning, will not be the scalding, will not be the eternal punishment which will be doubled every day for an eternity. Think of that. A punishment which is so severe, but it is doubled every day for eternity. For the people of hellfire. That is not their greatest woe. That is not their greatest commiseration. But their greatest woe and their greatest commiseration is that they will never see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will never speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that, I ask my brothers and sisters to continue to strive. Continue to work. Wallahi, if it weren't for people like you, then there would be no Islamic Week. There would be no Charity Week. If there were no people who gave for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if there weren't people who strove for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this religion would have died in Mecca over 1430 years ago. But it is because of people like you, because of people who put the effort in, because of people who are prepared to struggle and strive and make the sacrifices, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to share in this blessed event of Charity Week. So don't give up. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appreciative, and remember that these things are there to bring us together and not to cause disharmony and disunity amongst our hearts. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan.